Whether or not you are already in a journey group, or perhaps you are for the first time considering getting in a journey group, I want to say thank you for taking a few minutes just to hear a little bit more about discipleship and what we call Life on Life missional discipleship. Instead of me taking a lot of time and trying to walk through the answer of that first question, what is Life on Life discipleship, I want you to watch this 3-minute animation. I think it summarizes it as well as anything. So I think you'll enjoy this. Take a look at this.
Why is it that countless churches excel at preaching and programs, but struggle to make mature and equipped followers of Christ? Churches typically go from preaching and teaching to deploying. We tell people what to do, then send them off to do it. But the problem with proclamational leadership is that it sends out believers who aren't yet trained and matured. It leads to discouragement, disillusionment, and disengagement. Jesus didn't direct and delegate. He discipled. He didn't merely inform his followers by sharing his knowledge. He transformed them by sharing his life and having them join in his ministry. Jesus modeled incarnational leadership, discipling his men, joining them in the trenches while preparing and coaching them to multiply and to be sent to the front lines. We call it Life on Life missional discipleship, and we believe it's the missing middle in the life of the church, the center of the hourglass. Preaching, teaching, and small groups deliver great truth and create meaningful fellowship. But Life on Life missional discipleship equips us to go from belief to maturity, leadership, and impacting other disciples and the lost world. Without Christ-like discipleship, Christ followers cannot become kingdom leaders, and congregations can cherish the word, but cannot change the world. Remember, when God wanted to build his church, he didn't send a program to implement. He sent a person to imitate. And the life that Jesus lived, the model he gave, was defined by life-on-life missional discipleship. Jesus shows us how to think big, start small, and go deep. He pursued a big vision for the world by selecting a small group of men and investing deeply in their lives. As Paul says, "We shared the gospel with you and our lives as well." This is the heart of discipleship. When people who are being conformed to Christ share their life, they pass on Jesus' life. The life of Christ leaves a legacy of generations, and the gospel spreads around the world. That's why Life on Life missional discipleship groups are unlike traditional small groups. They focus on life transformation, not just fellowship or knowledge transfer. They're small, with 4 to 6 people who are carefully selected and highly committed, and they multiply. We make disciples who can go and make more disciple makers. As each leader goes on to raise up more leaders, and those leaders raise more leaders still, the growth of the movement is exponential and explosive. This is not a novel idea or a quick fix. It's simply the way of Jesus. It's not a new method, but an old method with new people. Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations. As we've focused on life missional discipleship, the blessing has been profound. By God's grace alone, we're seeing Life on Life missional discipleship movements rise up throughout the United States and around the globe. Wherever God's plan is followed, we see new believers, new leaders emerging, and congregations impacting their families, neighborhoods, cities, and nations. Discipleship was Jesus' model, his method, his mandate, and his mission. There is no plan B. Register now for the next informational call to find out more about how to ignite a Life on Life missional discipleship movement in and through your church.
What I want to do now is just take a number of questions, either questions that I'm often asked about discipleship or things that I think are critically important for anyone who might be considering getting in a journey group. Now, let me address the question, who needs Life on Life discipleship? And the answer to that one, I think, is pretty simple. I think every believer needs to be, at some point in their life, able to go through the experience of what we call Life on Life discipling. I remember being with a pastor, very noted, nationally known pastor, and we were discussing among a dozen of us or so the issues of ministry and so forth, and the question came up with, how in the world would people do Life on Life discipleship in churches today? And the question came up because we had just discussed among ourselves, maybe 10, 12 of us, I don't know how many, all in maybe our 50s, and the question was asked, how many of us who are pastors of these churches had someone in our life who came up to us in life some way as kind of a mentor, kind of like a loving drill sergeant? They kind of pushed us when we needed to be pushed. They pulled us when we needed to be pulled. They hugged us when we needed to be hugged. They taught us the things we needed to know to live the Christian life. And how many of you had somebody like that in your life? Do you know every single one of us raised our hand? That's when he said, how would you do that in church today? I was listening to Peter Drucker, who was speaking to a small number of us. Many of you know the name Drucker, probably the man known as the father of management, but here an incredibly insightful man. And he said of all the social organizations that he had ever seen in his life, only two had really been effective. And one of them he identified as AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. So I began asking when I got back home, people that had been involved in AA, why is AA so successful? And the answer was seemed to always be this, two things. One, a qualified sponsor, and number two, an accountable group. I heard that and I thought, you know, that's what Jesus did. Jesus, of all people, the most qualified sponsor there is, certainly. And then his accountable group, his disciples. And I realized that's exactly what he was doing. The next question I guess we have to ask is, well, who is a qualified sponsor? A qualified sponsor is simply somebody who is a faithful follower of Christ. And so as you're looking for a group, you're not finding somebody who's spiritually got it all together. What you're really looking for is someone who's further along than you are spiritually. It's someone that you could look to and say, I need you to mentor me in the faith, to disciple me, as we use that term. That what we're really not asking for is someone simply to be a moderator of a group, even just a leader of the group, even a teacher. We're looking at somebody who would simply be further along. You know, when I was just in early to mid-high school, I'd been in a discipleship group as a brand new Christian with a man several years older than me, and he said, now you've got to start a group. You won't keep it unless you give it away. And I said, me? I'm so young in the faith. And he said, there's somebody younger than you. You find them, younger in the faith. I went to a few junior high students and said, come, be a part of my group. And that was my first discipleship group. So qualified sponsor, let's not overplay it, but at the same time, it is someone that is further along than you are. Make sure as you check out a group that that would be the case, and that's where you're going to find the best experience. Next question is, what makes for an accountable group? I simply think of an accountable group as a team of individuals who are willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish the goal. We'd say that about football, about any sport. We say, boy, if you want to be successful, it's not just about talent. No, it's about just this hunger that says, I want to accomplish the goal. And so I'll talk about the goal next, but the thing is, I think you know what I'm talking about. Do you have a hunger to advance in your spiritual formation? And is that really something you want more than anything else? I think that's when you really are primed to be ready for a group. So next question is, what is the goal of Life and Life Missional Discipleship? And we like to summarize it in this little phrase, to become a mature and equipped follower of Christ. I hope that you're going to go through the orientation materials and look at them as they're provided for you. And in doing so, you will see a description there of the mature and equipped follower. That's what our goal is. That's what you want to accomplish. But I'm going to add a second goal, and that is that over time, as you come through and finally finish going through maybe up to 3 years of what we call the journey, once that happens, you need to be thinking, even from the very beginning, I'm here to get something so that I can give it away. It's not just to get something, it's to get something to give it away. You're leaving a life legacy as a result of being in a group like this. That's really what you accomplish by being in something like Life on Life. And so next question, what is required to accomplish the goal as I talked about it? Well, I put two things together. Hunger, we've already mentioned, and commitment. It does take commitment. This is not just another small group. Small groups, you know, are just basically get in something, come, listen, watch, be a part of, discuss, be open. There's great value in that. But we're talking about something here that says, no, there's a commitment level that goes deeper in that we're going to prepare outside in order to be prepared to now come to the group and then have something done that's very, very special. Some people I've noticed over the years, they want to get in spiritual condition. I think of it like a physical analogy of a trainer who says, hey, would you like to get in shape? And they say, oh, more than anything in the world, I want to get in shape. I'm so badly out of shape. I need it so much. They're, in a sense, hungry, but not hungry enough to pay the commitment. They say, you know, only thing I ask is, don't ask me to change my eating habits because I love to eat the foods that I love and I don't want to change that. Now, I do want to lose weight though. And by the way, I want to build muscle mass and all these, I do want those things. But oh, by the way, I don't want to get sore. So don't do anything that would make any of my muscles sore, but I'd like to get stronger muscles. Well, you'd say to that person, no, you've got to have the hunger, the desire for it, but it's got to be so much so that there's a commitment to do what is required. Now, in our orientation, you'll find out, you know, what's asked of members. It's certainly, I tell you this, to use the analogy of workout, you're not going to throw up every day. It's not going to be like that. But you do want to get a little sore, and it's a good soreness. You love that. When you get kind of pushed enough that you begin to make good progress in your spiritual development. I would even say this, if you find out that in your estimation that maybe over this next year there are almost 29 or 30 gatherings per year typically, if you're going to miss more than 6 or 7, you know that your schedule or whatever was going to cause that, this may not be the season for you to be a part of. But it takes these two things. It takes hunger and it takes commitment. So why is it important to join a group like this? I like to refer to what I call the one thing principle. Again, going back to Peter Drucker, I remember hearing him talk about the importance of finding the one thing and sticking strongly to a single thing and how you can accomplish one thing easier than you can accomplish many, many things. I think it's very similar in discipleship. I want you to imagine with me that someone comes to you and they say this. Now, you're going to need this year to do a study of God. You need to know about God's immutability and His sovereignty and His love. And so you need to study a lot of the different attributes of God. And oh, by the way, you need to really get to know something about God's church and His sacraments. So you need to do a study on ecclesiology, as we call it, and understand the church. And oh, by the way, the sacraments of baptism, spend some time studying that and the Lord's table. And certainly you want to do a little study this year, sometime this year, on the Lord's Day. That would be very important. And oh, by the way, you're also going to need to spend some time just studying about your role as a father or as a mother or as a husband or a wife, or you need to study relationships as a single. You need to do a study sometime from God's Word in those arenas so that you'll get strong in those areas. Oh, and by the way, you also need to study maybe sanctification this year and maybe assurance of salvation. Understand that doctrine is so very, very important. And they just keep going. It's just kind of a list of things. Think about that same person then saying to you, and oh, by the way, there's some things you need to learn and to practice. You need to learn about being full of the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to share your faith with other people. Oh, you need to discover your spiritual gifts. And then they said, oh, and then one other thing, you need to build this year deep relationships with somebody of your own gender that you can get to know deeply and share your heart with and feel comfortable with them. You know, inviting them into the inner parts of your life to help you in your own personal struggles and so forth. And, you know, you would listen to all that and you would just be overwhelmed. And you'd say, I can't do that. It's just too much. I would never do it. Even though I might want to, I just couldn't do it. I tell you how you could do it. You could do it if there were one stop and you go there and you just, it happened. For instance, I have for years been a part of a group of people who work out in the early morning. It's just three times a week, but it's an important time because when we go there, there's an instructor and the instructor just simply says, all right, today we're going to do this muscle and you're going to do this exercise, you're going to do this. And all I have to do is show up and follow. Do you know that's what discipleship is? You're going to be able now to just go somewhere once a week and then follow. And in essence, they're going to say, oh, by the way, go to the gym several times this week and you'll want to do this, this, and this, and then come back next week and join your little team, the people that you've enjoyed being with, and then we'll work out together again. I'll tell you, it's one thing, and that's why I love it. I can just go, show up, and I've got an instructor there that's going to say, this is what you do. That's what happens in a journey group, and it is the easiest of all ways to accomplish all those things I read. Believe that. That is 1 year. I just mentioned what comes in 1 year. 30 meetings. It's incredible the difference it can make other than just trying to do it on your own. So, next question. What should you expect once you've been in a Life on Life discipleship group, we call a journey group? Tell me, what do you think you should expect to happen? I want to make expectation what it should be. I truly believe this is what you can expect. Number one, you can expect to make great progress in your maturity and in your equipping. That's what we're all about. I'll tell you this, if you've got a good leader and the group is committed to the things, the goals that we're talking about, I think you can expect that to happen. You're not going to become, you know, fully mature. Nobody does. Nobody's going to be fully equipped, but you're going to make great progress as you go along that process. I'll tell you this, I've heard from my own group, even this last year. We ended a year in this last year, about to start a new year, but at the end of this last year, we were just talking about what had happened in our own lives, and a couple of the guys spoke out and they said, Randy, please tell people the importance of getting in a group like this. And they brought it up, and they said, you've got to really stress the importance. And they shared how they had gotten more out of that group during the year, us meeting, than all the other things they were doing, including their time at church, as important as it is to worship and so forth. But they said in terms of maturing and equipping, that had been the single most important thing. My wife, Carol, she had a number of ladies that came to her several years ago who were the kind of the mamas of the church. They'd been around for 20, 25, 30 years. And for whatever reason in their season of life, they'd missed discipleship. And after missing it, they kind of felt odd this far along in their Christian faith coming back and getting in discipleship. And they came to Carol and said, Carol, if you'll put us in a group for 1 year, we'll all lead groups the next year, but we got to experience it before we can give it away. And she agreed to do that, started a second group. And Carol told me at the end of the year that numerous ones of those ladies had come to her and in different ways said, you know, as much as I've loved the church, I've not been critical of what I've gotten here, I've been very satisfied, but I do believe I've grown more this year than in the other years combined. It's just been amazing. How could I have missed this? So an important thing, I'm telling you, I think you can plan to see lot of formation in your spiritual life. That's what happens in Life on Life discipleship. Number two, I really think you can expect to become an integral part of a real brotherhood or a sisterhood, whichever be the case. I want to read an email that my wife Carol got just a couple of years ago at the end of one of her years of meeting with a group of ladies and investing in their lives. This is what she wrote to all of the ladies in Carol's group. Just wanted to write a few thoughts about how blessed we are to be in a group of authentic women. I was thinking through my own journey over the last years and wanted to thank each of you because, and then this is what she says, you loved me when I felt unlovable. You gave me value when I felt worthless. You embraced me when I felt condemned. You didn't think less of me when I felt judged. You encouraged me when I felt scorned by the world. You cared for me when I wanted to self-destruct. You held me up when I wanted to fall. You told me the truth when I wanted to listen to lies. You were strong when I was weak. You showed me how to breathe when life took my breath away. You were Jesus when I needed him in flesh and bone. You understood even though your flesh could not. You called me when I felt I had nothing to say. You made me face the day when I wanted to tread in darkness. You challenged me when I wanted to be mindless. You loved my family when others found them unlovable. You asked me questions when I just wanted to blend in. You saw God's potential in me when I saw nothing. You knew me when I didn't recognize myself. And then she ended by saying, relational discipleship, so much more than Bible study. Thanks for doing life with me. And then thirdly, I think it's the fact that you're going to leave a life legacy. You're going to build in lives of people who are going to turn, build in lives of others. There will be no greater life legacy that you will do outside your own family. I realize if you have children, but beyond that, your ministry, there will be no greater life legacy. So last question is, what should you do next? Let me encourage you. Be sure that you get the orientation. I'd like for you to read through the orientation. We have on our resources the orientation that I give at our church. If you're a member of our church, certainly it'll be easy to get to. Any of you can go online, perimeter.org. But I would go through, make sure you've seen the orientation. And your leader should have already provided that for you. You should walk through it, but I want you to walk through it in great detail. Particularly look at the covenant at the end. Make sure you understand what you're getting into. Obviously, that's important. I'm going to encourage you, secondly, then to pray. Pray a lot about this. Ask God to bring you to the right leader. And if you find a leader and you listen to the group and you realize that, no, this is more of a small group, they're not pursuing hard, the leader's not investing, that's not his or her desire to do that. Know this, maybe wonderful people and good things happen in the group, but you want to find a group where you can look at a leader and say, help me get where I need to go. That really is what makes Life on Life so impactful. So I hope that this is going to be a year for you that will be beyond all years, assuming that you can get in to a group. There's one available to you and you can find the right group. It may not be your season, and that's okay. We don't want people to feel guilty that everybody has to be in a group. No, not at all. But I do believe it is such a great advantage that you want to find that season as soon as possible. Find the best leader you can find. Pray God would send the right leader. And then you get in that group. And hungry, that's good enough? No, commitment. Add commitment to your hunger. Watch what happens. You're going to be a part of a brotherhood or a sisterhood that I think is going to change your life forever. So I hope that is the case, and hope this has been beneficial, that you can understand a little bit more about what it means to be a part of a journey group. Hope you have a great experience.